Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tabletop Radio Hour, your podcast for everything tabletop. My name's Zach, and this week I've got the regular crew. I've got Mark, and I've got Steve. Mark, how are you today?
I'm doing stellar. How are you?
Stellar indeed. That's a good one for today.
Thank you.
And Steve?
Stunningly?
You guys will get that in a second. Oh man. But yeah, this week we will be having an actual play episode.
This week
it's a different sort of crew than we usually have. But we will be playing Star Trek Adventures today.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally. Yeah, this is probably the game that we've been saying we want to play on the podcast.
Or this just is the general. Final frontier, yes.
Yeah. This is the final frontier. Yeah. No. Paranoia on the podcast, I think, is the final frontier. I think that's when we can just go downhill from there. But,
I thought it was shark jumping. The role-playing game would be the real.
Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, we're extremely excited to play today. Mark will be running this.
Yes.
So I guess we'll just hand it off to Mark and we'll let him jump.
Let's dive right in. Yes. Well, actually, before I take over, why don't the two of you introduce your characters?
Oh, all right. I'll let Steve go first.
Okay. I will be playing Sirian O'Keer, who's a male Trill who's been in Starfleet for a few years now. Basically, he was accepted and completed the symbiote training academy course and back on his homeworld after he joined with the O'Keer symbiote. He applied to Starfleet and worked his way up to lieutenant commander as a science officer. He had excellent science marks at the academy and excels in technical either science and engineering skills, especially anything involving computers.
Absolutely.
I might want to throw in, too, that this is all taking place around the time of Star Trek IV. So it's the original series movie era, essentially. So
yeah.
That might help you visualize things, too. So, Zach, your character?
My character is Weston Wise. He's about 26, 27. He is a gentleman that has been growing up on Starbase his entire life. His family for generations has been joining Starfleet one after another. And he was the next in line. So he definitely joined Starfleet and worked his way up the security rankings. He's up to lieutenant currently, and yeah, he is a security officer.
Nice. All right. So, the two of you are currently assigned to the USS Odessa, which is an Excelsior-class vessel, which has been patrolling, the Romulan neutral zone for the last almost 6 months. And it is time for it to make its normal resupply call at Starbase 157. I don't know if you have the Star Trek map. You can see, you can find Starbase 157 is not too far from the intersection of the Romulan neutral zone and Klingon border. So it's kind of pretty close to where everything comes together. You arrive at the station. It's kind of like Starbase 1 in that it has the doors that open and you can park internally. It's not as big as Starbase 1. Starbase 1 is the one around Earth that's seen in the search for Spock. this you know, it's a similar design. So you approach and your ship, it's a pretty big ship, so it's kind of fits in a little tightly. Fortunately, the other ships that are in there are fairly small. So you get in. When you do, you both receive orders to report to briefing room number 542 at 0900 hours. So
okay, all right. If I can ask, are we both bridge officers?
Yes, you okay. are. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Okay, I take note of my my orders, and once we get the ship moored, completed our duties, I guess I'll head off to the briefing room.
Okay.
Yeah. Same.
You going together or just going to meet up there?
We'll just meet up after we do our individual things. We'll meet up there.
Yeah, I may not actually be aware that he got the orders too. I don't think it
same
unless that's it's fair. The audio
yes,
thing.
Yes, you're probably right. You're probably right. No, it probably would have been personalized. Mm-hmm. So good. Yeah. So you arrive in the briefing room.
Okay.
And once you're there, tall Andorian woman wearing Commodore insignia on her shoulder enters and says, thank you for coming. Please sit down. She takes place at the head of the briefing table, and I assume the two of you sit.
Yes. yeah
okay. She says, my name is Commodore Stavit, and I'm with Starfleet Intelligence. We need help with a situation which can't be handled by anyone already in our organization. Running a database algorithm to match skills, temperament, and availability brought up both of your records. Everything I'm about to tell you is considered extremely classified, and you are not allowed to repeat it to anyone outside of Starfleet Intelligence. Is that understood?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Agents on the planet Vulcan have taken custody of a Klingon spy named Maltz, who was recently the sole survivor of an attempt to steal highly classified Federation technology. She punches a button and a picture of a Klingon comes up. He looks kind of like Dan, the lawyer from Night Court, but as a Klingon.
the Lorikeet clan.
yes. Okay. He says, in order to infiltrate so deeply into Federation territory, the Klingon Captain Krug had to acquire a Romulan bird of prey with a cloaking device. When questioned, Maltz revealed that his captain stole the ship with help from an Orion Syndicate representative named Bamona from the Adelphus Outpost. He also revealed that Orion acquired information on the ship's movement from what he believed to be a Romulan contact. Starfleet Intelligence currently has a Vulcan operative named T'Vik on the Adelphus Outpost, who has been posing as a Romulan merchant. This operative fits the description of the contact who aided the Orion Syndicate. Agent T'Vik has gone silent, and there's a fear that she may have gone native, turning her loyalties away from Federation interests. Because Agent T'Vik would recognize any known intelligence agents, we need you to go to Adelphus Station, find Agent T'Vik, investigate her involvement in this incident, and retrieve or eliminate her as is determined necessary. For your cover, you will be assigned to the Hermes-class Scout Artemis, which has been classified as a decommissioned commercial trading vessel. In reality, it is a state-of-the-art intelligence starship. Although you will have positions on the ship, where it is important that you maintain the appearance of subservience, the Tellarite Captain, Bjotz, will be ordered to follow your directives and be at your service during this mission. He has also been fully briefed on your situation, and you are free to converse with him about any classified details of your assignment. Do you have any questions?
Okay, so our mission is just to retrieve T'Vik, right? We're not looking for Bamona or any of the other or the Klingon spy Maltz. T'Vik is the only one who's going to be at the station.
Maltz is already in custody. He's
okay
on Earth somewhere probably. Okay. But yeah, T'Vik is your assignment.
Okay,
you are to find out what she's been doing and hopefully retrieve her.
Okay. Okay, and
And is it, to my understanding, from what I heard, is my understanding that we're going undercover as the ones in command in this situation?
Your cover is as officers aboard the Artemis.
Mm, beautiful.
There's Captain Biatz will be in command, but he will be answerable to you. This is your mission.
Understood.
Okay. Is the crew of the Artemis just a crew of three, or are there other crew members on the ship?
There are other crew members. Captain Biatz will introduce you to you as you progress.
Can you spell the Tellarite captain's name for me, please?
Yes, I can. B-J-O-T-Z.
No wonder I wasn't getting that. Okay, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
During this playthrough, if there's any time when you say a name you think we'll need you to spell, just type it in chat.
That's fair. Actually, what I'll do is I'll make his...
Available.
Make it visible, at cool. least.
If I can ask, is this a time-sensitive mission? How long do we think the Tavik is going to remain on Delta Station?
That's the problem. We if she has turned, we have no idea what she's up to. If she's up to anything else that is going to compromise Federation safety, she needs to be stopped as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. When was the last contact that we've had with her?
Nearly 9 months.
9 months? Okay. Okay.
So a decent amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have intelligence that places her on the station now, correct?
That was her assignment. Everything we've had says that she's there. That's where she was assigned. That was the last place we heard from her. And even Maltz confirmed that she was aiding the Orions on that station.
Okay. Okay. Is Bomona on the station as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. He is the merchant prince in command of the station. The station is actually an Orion station, so it's considered Orion territory, which is part of why you're going in undercover.
Understood. That makes sense.
Yes, and yeah, why Tavik is undercover as well.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Well, that's...
Yeah.
That's perfectly clear, Commodore.
She will send you the connection to report to the Artemis. She says, "I'll have your gear transferred as well, so you can report directly there."
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Okay.
Okay.
Without further ado, it sounds like this. Could be a relatively time critical thing, so let's. I'd like to head over to the ship right away. Artemis,
yeah, sounds good. Great. So yeah, you.
Mm-hmm.
So you head to the Artemis, and you will meet Captain Biatz. You will also some of the crew here. Let me introduce as well. These are supporting characters. And the way supporting characters work is they are available to you if you say you go on a mission and you think there's no reason I would need a security officer for this. What we really need is a medic.
Okay. Well,
then Zach might put his character aside and pick up a different character.
Cool.
So these are some of the crews and. You know, they're just a small representation. There are a lot more. Mm-hmm. So if you do want to pick up any more characters, you can, and they can be cool. pretty quickly built and distributed as necessary. So do you see the supporting characters? I also made the Artemis available visible to you, so you should have access to that.
Cool. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
So.
This is a much smaller ship than the Odessa, right? The Odessa.
Yes, it is. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
older. Well, it's interesting. You come in and, you know, as you're approaching the gangway, looking at it, it looks like a very old, it's set up to look like a decommissioned ship that's been sold for private use. So a lot of times, you know, the older ships will be used, you know, decommissioned and sold off as transports and used by private facilities. And that's what this looks like. But then once you enter, the interior looks very state of the art. Everything is very
updated
clean and new and updated. Yeah. So that's kind of what you're encountering.
Okay.
Nice.
And so as soon as you enter the ship, the captain is there to greet you. You the officers I was told to expect?
Aye, aye, sir. Reporting for duty.
Well, I'm Captain Bietz. Who are you?
Sirian O'Keer, science officer, at your service.
He's off on the formality. This is, remember, this is supposed to be a civilian ship, right?
Understood,
How about
sir.
You? How about you, Trigger Fingers? Who are you?
Weston. And hey, Weston. I hold out my hand to shake it.
Yeah, he'll shake it. So, what's the game plan?
Well, our orders are to report to the Delta Station and see what we can find. We're looking for the asset, Romulan asset. So,
Delta Station?
Delta Station.
Oh, we got a Deltan aboard.
Oh.
So, yeah.
How fortuitous.
So are you going to Delta or are you going to Adelphus?
I don't know. What did you say?
I said Adelphus.
He said Adelphus.
I don't know how undercover you're actually going to go. Yes.
Yeah. He said Adelphus.
Yeah. Again, station. If you have the map, it's, just south of, Starbase 157. But
okay. Adelphus station. Then yes, yeah. We're going to Adelphus station.
Gotcha. Okay, good. That's a lot closer. So,
Captain, have you been there before? Do you have any contacts or connections on the station?
No, actually, I haven't. I've been by there, but haven't actually stopped. So,
Understood. If I may be so bold, do you have any background in dealing with the Orion Syndicate?
Little bit, not a whole lot. You know, as a trader. They're kind of a necessary evil sometimes, but haven't dealt with them specifically.
Understood.
We're ready to take off whenever you guys are.
I kind of make my way over to the science station and do a little engineering check and make sure everything's in order.
Okay. Yeah, looks pretty good.
The ship appears to be fully operational, Captain. We are clear to engage.
I kind of already knew that, but thanks. Great. Yeah, we've been working on it for a while. Glad your 10-second assessment got us covered. All right. Claps his hands, says, all right, let's get to work, people. You do see two people on deck. He turns to the communication, says, signal the station. We're ready to depart. Release moorings. Thrusters at station keeping, and thrusters ahead, 1/8. At this point, the bay doors open, and you ease out into space, get a safe distance away, you hit warp, and off you go. Yes.
Okay.
I would assume I would probably take point at the tactics station there, right next
to. You actually have a couple options. You could go task tactics. You know, you might pick up navigation. Could be an option. You might. Those are probably actually. Yeah, tactics might be the best use of
best place for me. Yeah,
for you.
I could also, if needed, take over engineering if there's not a chief engineer.
But there is a chief engineer.
So I shouldn't be needed.
That would be, you meet him, his name's Lyle Kuiper, human lieutenant. Also meet Iletha, who is a Deltan helm. She's sitting there at the helm. Dennis Doyle is the doctor. Cheryl, you meet him. Jill Dykstra is in charge of communications. She's sitting behind the captain. So those are some of the personalities you meet aboard.
Beautiful.
But it's like I said, this isn't a real big ship. And no. It's not certainly not up to Starfleet specs. So it's a little bit undermanned. But yeah, there's a good probably 50, 60 people roaming the hallways.
Okay.
At any given cool. time.
So
there's awesome.
Some flexibility of people you might meet. So
perfect.
Anything you want to do en route?
Well, let's come up with a game plan real quick. What are you thinking? Do you think is this person gonna be hostile?
Well, we can't assume that she will or won't be. It's been 9 months since she's made contact, so she might be trying to dodge the Federation. She might be a double agent now. She also, since we don't have contact or confirmation from her, she might be dead or kidnapped. We'll need to find her first before we can determine where she lies. But I do think we should definitely be subtle and sneaky about how we go about doing this.
Well, I can certainly try my best. Yeah, I think we should be set to go. I don't need to accomplish anything before we're there.
It's an Orion station, so I think a safe bet would be to case the bars, you know, see if we can find anybody in her last known area that might recognize her and know where she is.
Any possible contacts? Yeah, absolutely.
We can also, I mean, we should have her address too. We can go check her domicile and see if we can find any clues there.
Yeah, where she was stationed or whatever. Yeah, we should be set to sail.
And again, you do have the name of Bamona, who is the merchant prince in charge of the place.
Of the place, which we could always go and have a talk.
Well, and if he's in charge of the station, they're Orion, so that's a little bit, you know, rough and dangerous. I don't think we could just knock on the door and start asking uncomfortable questions. Or could we? Am I missing the relationship there between Bamona and Maltz and Tavik?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, Orions are—they're not actively hostile. They take part in things that are kind of frowned on by the Federation. You know, Federation has kind of curtailed a lot of their slavery action, which they might be a little bitter about. But there's not an active hostility there. Some resentment. Of course, they deal with. They have no reservations about dealing with Romulans or Klingons or other enemies of the Federation. They're businessmen and women.
They're kind of independent.
Kind of, yeah.
Lot of the time,
shady
when it comes to business.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Shady intermediaries is a good.
Yeah. If we can find an incentive for them, that would probably be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we can, if we need to consult with Bamona, if we need to interview him, we should do so prepared first.
Absolutely.
Let's put that off as a last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I will agree with that.
All right. Well, let's jump ahead then, and you eventually arrive at the Adelphus outpost. It is a fairly small station. It's orbiting one of the outer planets of the Adelphus system. So the planet itself is a gas giant inhabitable, and it just has the station orbiting it. The station is Orion territory, so they welcome just about anybody who's come to trade or do business. You know, there is an acceptance of even Romulan or Klingon traffic to and from the station that is allowed, so that they can do business from there. But there you are. You pull in, and what you gonna do?
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and disembark and start making our way towards. This is a space station, right?
It is, yes.
Okay, not it's not. Is it on a planet or is it free floating?
It's free floating.
Free floating.
Okay. It's not most, incorporated.
Yeah. Go ahead. The public place is mostly on the upper floors. It's basically a large bazaar.
Okay.
You can kind of think of the promenade from Deep Space Nine, maybe.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things for sale, some legal, some illegal in the Federation, various qualities of stuff. But there's a wide, there's a variety of shopping and stuff. Lower levels are off limits, of course, to visitors. And they include more of the life support and technical stuff is at the lowest levels.
Yeah.
Middle levels are for station personnel, living quarters, and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So you're here, and there's a bit of business. There's a lot of people, various races, milling about.
Here's the question: are there any more of us, like Starfleet? Here's the question: what would the likelihood of there being more Starfleet here?
Probably rare. Starfleet would certainly, raise suspicion and
this
isn't really Federation territory.
No.
So they wouldn't really be, it's not like they'd be
common.
Really
it wouldn't be here. Practiced that they would come here regularly. Yeah,
right. Right. And if they did, they would certainly be,
questioned.
Now there are going to be humans and,
yeah.
Some of the races of the Federation.
Right.
But, they would be private traders and merchants mm-hmm. and investors and those sort of things.
Not so much Starfleet proper. Yeah.
Correct.
Correct. So maybe going in with a bunch of red shirts isn't the best idea.
That would be a bad thing, I'm sure.
I think we should acquire ourselves street clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the contemporary fashion.
Yes.
Yeah, agreed.
So again, it would probably be similar to like the stuff from Star Trek IV. You'd have those kind of civilian looking
mm-hmm.
outfits.
Exactly.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, so let's go ahead and prepare for that while we have the time.
Okay.
Just kind of before we get docked here and unloaded and
okay.
stuff. Not unloaded, us unloaded.
Yes.
But,
okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead and prepare that, and then we'll get all our equipment and stuff that we need
mm-hmm.
together. So.
Okay.
Something with a coat with lots of pockets.
Fair.
Yeah. So once we're prepared, I think we'll be ready to get going. Let's bring somebody with us, at least.
You think?
No. The supporting characters, you can switch them out.
Switch, but so not if you, bring with.
But not add. They're not, gotcha. They're not an NPC army. They're just Perfect. Somebody that you can switch out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should be fine running with Weston then. So I'll just stick with Weston.
Okay. And ditto.
Now that said, if something happens on the ship while you guys are on the station, you can switch out and temporarily play the characters on the ship in order to play out whatever's happening there.
So okay. it cuts to a different scene, plays out that scene, goes back to the main scene.
Yeah, but that way you can play characters that are involved wherever the action is.
Okay.
So, beautiful.
Sounds
That's
good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, then. Let's, unless you have a better idea, my first plan is to go maybe stake out the, where her, well, let's see, for when she was posted here, what was her occupation for her cover?
Yeah, what was her cover?
Her cover was as a Romulan trader.
Okay.
Okay.
Doing some, kind of investment trading on the station.
Cool.
Did she have an office or storefront listed?
No. She was more like an advisor to some of the other merchants.
Okay. Mm. So she doesn't have a permanent address associated with her professional activities.
No.
So then I guess the first step would be a residence.
Which is going to be off limits to
off limits
a visitor.
What I would say, let's ask around. Like, let's go to the bazaar since she was here. Let's see if anybody's worked with her.
Okay, but unless we have, I guess we know. My concern is if we start asking general questions, we might raise suspicion.
I mean, let's say we are trader. We're traveling merchants, and we heard that she's a great advisor. We want some advisory.
Okay, yeah, we're looking to do business in the with the Romulans, and we thought she might make a good intermediary. We have it on excellent authority that she has expertise in this area.
I think that's a good at least jumping off point. And then if we we find some trouble from there, we'll improvise. But
okay,
but yeah, let's go from that route.
Oh, nice! And here's the station. How fun!
Yeah, actually, it's this is from Deep Space Nine, but you get the idea at least.
I can
use
the imagination a little.
We understand,
right? So yes, you beam aboard. Like I say, the place is kind of hustling and bustling. You get people of a variety of races. Some hawkers at stands are yelling out their wares. That's where things are. So
cool.
Where do you want to head first?
Let's see.
Well, I'd say let's kind of just, as we're walking around, just kind of get a general idea of the layout. Just in case things get hairy.
Yeah.
It's kind of my job as security officer to kind of figure those things out. So I'm going to get it just an overall layout. Just,
Okay. You know what?
Let's know my surroundings a little bit better.
Let's start rolling some dice.
Okay.
We get to roll dice now.
Sure. Let's go with, give you guys an insight attribute. And if you're looking, you can look kind of, are you looking for security type stuff?
Yeah, I'd probably say.
Okay, so you're kind of trying to look, check things out from a security standpoint.
From a security standpoint.
And then if you have any focus that would apply to casing it out, casing the place?
No, I have espionage, but that would be more of sneaking, I believe.
I think, yeah, probably not quite right for what.
Yeah, then I wouldn't have a specific focus. No,
so no focus used. Complication is normal. So go ahead and roll two dice.
Beautiful. I will do roll two dice.
Okay, one success. You got one success, which. This is a difficulty zero, so you got one momentum. So basically, you can use momentum to gain information or affect the story or do whatever you want. I assume you want to burn that momentum right away, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay. So you can get a feel for this place. The being in a crowd offers a bit of anonymity. You know, it's good for blending in. A little bit trickier for doing things unobserved, but depending on how you use the crowd, has some pros and cons.
I do have the value a crowd is a playground for detail, which might
very nice
for looking, trying to find these details, even though it's busy,
which should give you a determination then, right? That's if you do something wrong with your values,
that allows him
to use one,
use him. If he does something, taking advantage of the crowd.
Okay.
He could use a determination.
I could use.
Yeah. You do discover that as well. That's exactly, kind of where you're at. You could.
Yeah.
It's a good place for that sort of thing. So. Where to from there?
I'd probably say the bazaar is our next place.
The whole place is a bazaar. There are shops,
like,
kiosks,
just everywhere. Like this entire section.
The whole floor,
like a big bazaar, yeah.
Exactly, cool. Right, yeah.
What I would like to do is leverage my anthropology to look around the bazaar and figure out sort of where little Romulus is, basically kind of where the Romulan area is. And Yeah, if I can do that, like checking out the different signage or other kind of non-obvious clues, I'm looking for, like, you know, basically, like, if there's a Romulan bar that sort of caters to that type of clientele, I'm going to try to find that.
It's not real. There's not a real big Romulan presence here because, you know, you are in Federation territory. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are a few. There is actually, you can find a merchant specifically selling Romulan ale.
Okay.
Which, you know, he's got a small kiosk and, so that's an option.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Probably about the only one who actually has any kind of front or any establishment.
Okay. And cool. Romulan ale is also like super commonly smuggled too. So it's not necessarily an indicator that this guy is, you know, like deep into Romulans, but let me, I think it might be worth.
Yeah, it's very common. And I might say it's only illegal in the Federation. Here it's legal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nice.
You just can't, technically you just can't take it off the station, but
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's, I think that might be worth a shot. If you want to go over and I can buy some Romulan ale and chat the guy up a little.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'll keep an eye out.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, I head over. I make a little bit of small talk to him. I say, do we have covers? Do we have credentials with like other names on them?
Do you?
I mean, I don't think merchants would need credentials.
You, I mean, you had plenty of time to set up whatever you wanted to.
Okay.
If you wanted to, I'm sure you could have.
Okay.
I don't think we need like heavy credentials as you know, independent merchants.
It's not like you're that famous that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not doing anything.
That's the point. We're trying not to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not get noticed. Yeah. Okay. Then I head over and I say hello and start perusing the wares.
Hello, good sir. Welcome. Welcome. Interested in some Romulan ale.
Indeed. Yes, it's been quite a while since I've had some.
This is the finest in the quadrant, I can guarantee it.
Oof. taking a look at the wares, is it actually the finest in the quadrant, or is it knockoff?
Since it's not allowed in the quadrant, there's not too much competition, really.
Oh, okay.
So it might be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it looks good.
Okay. Cool. I kind of poke around a little bit, make sure they spelled Romulan right onto the bottles, and
yes,
I'll go ahead and
it's ALE, not AIL. Yes,
it's supposed to Romulan aid. That's the powder that you put in water in it.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Kool-Aid man bursts out an airlock. Okay. Anyway. Okay. In that case, yeah, I chat him up a little bit. Buy a bottle of it, and I say, it's been quite a while since I've had some of this. I had some with a friend of mine who should be working around here. I don't see her around the promenade though. Do we know?
Does she have a cover name?
Yes. Yes. You probably would have gotten that.
Okay.
Most likely. Before Steve starts going into conversation with this guy, calling this person by her undercover name, by her like her real name,
it's pretty much the same.
Tavik with a C. Okay, yeah. I see. Tavik
with a C. Tarek.
Tarek.
Tarek. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I say, yeah. There's my friend Tarek used to work here. Do you know if she's still around?
I'm sorry. Tevik.
Tevik is
her cover name.
Okay, yes.
Tevik.
Yeah, she had an excellent taste for this sort of thing. You wouldn't happen to know her, would you?
Don't get a lot of Romulans through here, but there's a few. She the one that has been working with Bomona?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, you know what? Make a insight command roll.
Okay, insight command. Let's
see. I'm not there, so I can't assist.
Am I using anthropology on this one?
Not really, because this is more of a questioning, interrogation type thing.
So that's a no. Let's see. Complication range is 1. Task roll is 2?
2, yeah. Unless you have something else, to, you know, a bonus that lets
you. Yeah, not if I can't swing anthropology.
Well, the other thing you can do, if you want to add a dice, you can add to my threat pool. You can give me threat to get another die.
Okay. Well, one question would be, is this an extended task or just a regular task?
Just a regular task, I think.
Okay. No, I think I'll just roll the dice and see what I can get.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I can also, I have an ability where I can spend one determination and add 3 points to the group momentum pool. So if you want momentum to use for this roll, I could.
We can hold off for now if you want, or okay. Up to you. Up to you if you think it's worth spending.
No, we can wait. It's okay. Just, it's the early stages.
Okay.
Very true.
Okay, so making the task roll. There, and that looks like...
Okay.
One success.
So you got a success. Like. All right.
Okay.
So, he says, there was a Romulan woman that's been working with Pomona. I haven't seen her lately, but, she's been... she might be who you're looking for.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have to give Pomona a call. Pomona's in charge here, right?
Yeah, he is. He's not real easy to get an audience with, but actually you might find him at there's kind of a little bit of an illegal fight ring that happens down around the corner here. Might be able to find him there.
Well, either way, it sounds like it would be entertaining. Interesting. I will check that out. Thank you very much.
Now, something you might want to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into this is a real kind of a hush-hush fight ring thing.
Okay.
Getting in's not so easy.
Oh.
Unless you want to participate. So if you can provide a fighter, it's going to probably be your only way of getting into this joint.
Interesting. Well, that is good to know. Probably not worth my while, so thank you for letting me know that.
Fair enough. Have a good day.
Kind of nod.
Did you actually buy any ale?
I did. I'll buy a bottle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, he definitely. Thanks a lot. Have a great day. Good to see you.
Okay. As we're making our way out, I'm kind of eyeing up Weston over here. I'm like, broad shoulders. Da, da, da.
Oh no.
So after we
I didn't know I was playing Rhine again.
Well, of course you're playing Rhine.
Of course I'm playing Rhine.
You know, I grab a table at some sort of outdoor cafe thing and order some kind of an appetizer and a couple of glasses so I can try this ale. And I say, so, when's the last time you were involved in an underground fight club?
Well, today is Tuesday, so... Yeah. Sorry.
Not since probably a week. Ship.
Oh.
What time is it now?
Yeah.
I have a feeling I'm about to be.
Well, you know, it's it would be a good way to access the club, and it looks like we're gonna need to pay Pomona a visit. Things seem to be pointing in that direction.
All right. What do I need to do?
Don't get hit.
Yeah, it's easier said than done. You want to jump in there and try that?
Well, one of my past lives was as a professional wrestler on Trill. I don't think I currently have the physical acumen to pull that off anymore. So.
Oh man! All right, I guess. Let's go. Are we going now? Are we going later? Like, what's?
Well, let's. Let's have another sip of this wine first. You might need the courage. Yeah, and I don't know if we want to look around. I don't know if we need to like dress him up per se. He's in kind of street clothes right now. Maybe lose the shirt. And I'm not going to wax you up, but there's got to be a player here that's willing to give us the...
that sells wax.
Yeah. We need something to do the James T. special. Yeah. The old greasy...
Yeah, I don't. You don't need to do that here. You could probably do that once you've signed back, up, you know, you don't have to show up
before the fight.
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal. Well, excellent. So, then we'll leave the greasing for later.
Yeah. They supply the grease for you, so you're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a personal expense. That's a,
right.
You want to write that off. Yeah.
You're granted the grease for the fight.
Save your receipts.
Yeah. Save your receipts. Business expense.
Okay. great.
Contact Starfleet about this business expense.
Yes.
Okay, you need a barrel of grease.
once he's sufficiently psyched up, is that are you in the mindset? Are you feeling your inner savage killer?
I mean, as much as I can, I guess.
Okay.
Great.
But I'm sure we'll just go and attempt to sign up if we want to go and do that. Yeah.
Okay.
You should definitely wear your red shirt for this.
I don't think I'll be doing that.
As soon as you're ready, you can go down and you sign up pretty easily. They're always looking for fresh meat.
Mm-hmm.
They work you into the rotation, and before very long, you are being ushered into a fairly medium-sized ring. It's enclosed with force fields. There's a pretty decent crowd around yelling things. Sirian is allowed in and given a spot. And actually, you know what? You can see a very fancy VIP box with a well-dressed Orion male there overlooking things. He's being attended to by a couple of Orion women.
Mm-hmm.
And
without saying.
Yeah, he's kind of watching kind of calmly watching from up there. Meanwhile, Weston is brought into the ring, and there's a loudspeaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a newcomer to our stage. A human, no less. Weston Weiss. A few people clap. Here to face off against Weston is our own, the brutal, the undefeated Tor.
Of course it is.
Just so I don't break cover, I'm going to chant along with Tor, 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 Tor. Also, I know they don't have cell phones in Star Trek, but I need some way to get a picture of this.
You probably have a, tricorder in your
tricorder or something. I just want to make sure I get a nice shot of Weston here.
Yes.
If for no other reason than to let his family know what happened to him.
Yeah. Yes. When I die, when I'm demolished right now.
So, basically the rules are, no weapons.
Okay.
And that's that it. Is it. Yeah.
That's usually how flight clubs work.
Yeah,
exactly. You,
it's don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah, that was the first rule. And then second rule is no weapons. Rule.
Second rule is no weapons.
Yeah. you got your shirt off, you're brought in, and this large Orion is facing off against you.
Just for context, like, say how much taller?
Probably a good 6-7 inches taller.
Okay.
You're not terribly tall, I assume. So
probably 6 foot.
Sweep the leg, Weston.
5'11", 6 foot.
He might be 6'4", 6'5",
Okay.
So.
No Andre the Giant here. This is
But he's beefy. He's
This is probably more like the Undertaker.
Yeah, probably.
The Undertaker's a big
the boy. Green Undertaker.
The Green Undertaker.
Yes. I need to. They may look up damage.
While Mark does this, I think we'll cap off this episode here.
Oh,
Okay. Unless, because we're about to fight, we're about an hour here. Unless we want to make this a longer episode series, but
sure,
we might go ahead and pick this one up on the next episode. But perfect. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me today. Thank you, Mark, for starting this wonderful journey with us, and I look forward to the next one.
And that's it for this episode of Tabletop Radio Hour. Like always, you can find this episode on soundcloud.com/tabletopradiohour and on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter at TabletopCast if you have any questions or comments. You can join us over on Facebook.com/TabletopRadioHour for regular updates. We also have an email address that is TabletopRadioHour@gmail.com. Our website, TabletopRadioHour.wordpress.com. You can find information about our Patreon page on our website. I want to thank you all for listening and keep rolling 20s.